And good evening, everybody. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with us again to Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning, I want to say a special thanks again to Chris and Sarah Middleton for that exciting presentation you've made to us about the ministry God has given you in Turkey and that part of the world. Having been there a few months ago, Adrian and I led a tour over there just recently. And so as we saw those pictures and heard you chatting, it just thrilled my heart, because I've seen some of those places, to think that you were actually sharing the good news of the gospel in the land of Turkey, which once was the heart of, in the world, of sharing the gospel with our world. Hundreds of years ago, Turkey was a land that was flooded with the gospel, and so many churches and many people who loved the Lord there. And today, it's just so changed. But God can change it again, can't he? And I think of what the Apostle Paul wrote in Turkey from the city of Ephesus to the city of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, I am become all things to all men, that by all means I may win some. And your creative approach to sharing the gospel is one of those all means whereby we may win some to Jesus Christ. God bless you in that ministry. Now, just a little to the west of Turkey is the land of Greece, and we also visited a place called Thessalonica. And that Nike is an interesting word, which really in the Greek is Nike. Oh, now you're thinking of shoes, aren't you? Anybody got any Nikes you're wearing? Hey, Jim, you got some? There, look at there. There he's wearing his Nikes. Good. You wore those especially for tonight, didn't you? Because the title of my message is Lace Up Your Nikes. Did you realize that there is a pair of Nikes in the Bible? Well, if you look at chapter 12 of the book of Romans and the last verse, what does it say? I'd like you to say it with me here, and that's the title. I don't know whether the text is there or not, but I'd like for you to see it with me in your Bibles, and here's what it says. Yes, there it is. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Would you say that with me, class? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Did you see the pair of Nikes there? Now, you who are Greek students found it, didn't you? The word overcome is the translation for the word that we use, Nike. That's a Greek word for to overcome or to conquer or to be a victor. So Nike is the Greek word for victory or to overcome. And I want you to see this pair of Nikes. They're twice. It says that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I'd like you to put your Nikes on, though. That actually is in the form of a command. The Bible says, do it. Don't be overcome by evil, but do be overcome by good. And I'd like you to notice how not to be overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil because, first of all, think of this. Satan is seeking to Nike you. There, now you write that word down. That's a good Greek word, Nike. By the way, whenever you see, I think of Tiger Woods. And maybe you'll notice on his hat, the Nike symbol. It's just kind of a lazy check mark, you know. Whenever you see that, I'd like for you from now on to think about this verse. Or if you're wearing your Nikes, Jim, think about it. Or if you're wearing some other clothing that made by Nikes, just be reminded that means victory or to conquer or to overcome. And God wants you to be an overcomer in Jesus Christ, and not to be overcome by evil. But I want you to know that evil is on your track. The first thing I want you to see is this, that Satan is seeking to Nike you. That's right. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says so. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And maybe as you think of your week last week, you say, "Yeah, I know that. I heard him growling." It was in Job chapter 1 and verse 6 that we read this. "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' And Satan answered to the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.'" And that's, he's still doing that. He's seeking to conquer you, to Nike you. But I want you to notice this especially. Satan has targeted all Christians. Now, if you are not a Christian, you're already in his ranks. But if you have come to Christ, you have been removed from the sphere of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. But I tell you this, Satan does not like that. And he's going to try to disturb your joy and your peace and your victory in Jesus Christ. And every one of us as believers, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are targeted by the devil. He's got you on his computer. And he is seeking every, and this week, coming up, let me just say this very clearly. He's going to try to trip you up in your walk with Jesus Christ. Now, let me say also that, you know, there are actually three enemies that we have. It's not just the devil. The Bible speaks of the three enemies that every believer has: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And sometimes we blame the devil for things that really are part of the world or this society in which we live, which is hell-bent and which is seeking to tear us down and ruin our lives. As never before, the world has a system to try to wreck and to ruin you. With all of the imagery that is in our world today, whether it be through television or the internet or whatever, seeking to cause your mind to go from thinking godly thoughts to thinking lustful thoughts and to ruin your life, Satan is trying to use the world's system to wreck and to ruin you. And not only that, but we have the flesh. And by that we mean the fallen, sinful human nature that every one of us, even as believers, still has to deal with. And so we can't just say, well, the devil made me do it. Even if the devil were not there, we'd still do it because of our fallen, sinful nature. So we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, Satan stimulates the worldly society around us, and he also appeals to our flesh. But I want you to see tonight that you do not have to be overcome by evil. Even though Satan is seeking to Nike you, to conquer you, even though Satan has targeted all Christians, and also even though Satan opposes God's word. I want you to see that. See, you know, Satan hates the Bible. He tries to distort it. He tries to erase it. Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, Jesus tells a parable about the sower who's sowing seeds. And some of the seed fell on hard ground, and the birds came and took it away and ate it before it couldn't get into the ground to start to germinate and start to grow. And the Bible said, Jesus explained that that's a picture of Satan, who comes when the seed of the Word of God is sown and falls on hard ground. And then the Satan comes and he snatches that away. And Satan does not like the Word of God. In fact, let me say right now, he's here right now in this room through his emissaries, the demons, those fallen angels who fell with him from heaven, to try to rob the seed that we're sowing right now from your life. Another thing is, I want you to see, and that is Satan seeks to destroy God's work. Think of that as you read Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, which says, Jesus said to Peter, "Hey, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." He had a design on Peter because Satan had an awareness, boy, I think maybe God wants to use this fisherman to do something special. I'm really going to go after him. And he did. But thank the Lord, Jesus said, but I've prayed for you. And when he got his feet back on him again after Jesus had died, you remember how Peter did deny the Lord three times on that night when Jesus was betrayed. But he went out and wept bitterly, and he really turned around, got right with God, with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord was able to use him. I want you to see another thing here about how Satan seeks to destroy God's work. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, we wanted to come to you again and again, but Satan stopped us. Paul said, I wanted to come and minister to you there in Thessalonica, but Satan opposed that. Yes, Satan seeks to destroy God's work. There's another thing I'd like you to see, and it's this, that Satan can deceive people. The first people that he deceived were in the garden. Eve, for instance, was deceived by Satan. And then Adam, with his eyes wide open, fell for the same lie that Satan had shared with Eve. That was the first time we find him deceiving, but he is the great deceiver, and he's still doing that job of trying to deceive people. For instance, one of the ways that he seeks to deceive is to make us think that all the glamour and the glory and the things this world has to offer materially are the big things to go for, instead of seeking the Lord and his will and his way in our lives. And as you look at that, about how Satan seeks to deceive people, you'll notice it again, for instance, in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, that Christian couple, professing believers, however, they lied to the Holy Spirit because they were deceived by Satan. They fell for Satan's lies. And so Peter said to them, to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, we read this, that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Oh, what a deceiver he is. And there are so many things in our world today, much of which goes under the guise of what might be called the New Age, that seems so fine, so wonderful, and yet it is a satanic deception. Let me give you yet another thing here. Satan deceives the world. And Satan, you know, will continue to deceive the world even in the final countdown of the ages. Listen, for instance, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, where Paul says to them, the coming of the lawless one, which is the Antichrist who is going to come, will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Most all of our world is under the deception of Satan today. Listen to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7 and 8. It says this, when the 1,000 years are over, that's speaking of the millennium that's yet to come after Jesus has come. And by the way, aren't you glad he's coming again? And you, if you know the Lord, you're going to be reigning with him for those 1,000 years, according to the scripture. But then at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan, it says, will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth to gather them for battle, the final battle. And then the full end shall come, and a new heaven and a new earth will be created in which dwells righteousness forever and ever. And you're going to be a part of that too. Aren't you glad? But it's important for you to understand what's yet in the future and the satanic involvements that are going to be there. And Satan is now and will continue to do it to deceive the world. And let me say this, to bring it right up to this week. Satan will be on your trail this week. Are you ready? Well, you can be. You know, he'll put temptations in your way. Visually, the lust of the eyes. I want that, I want this, I want the other thing. The lust of the flesh, pornography, and all the rest. Not only visually, but verbally. People will say things that will maybe make you mad, or will make you discouraged, or will give you negative thinking. And Satan will put adversaries, people that he will use as adversaries in your way, who will try to put you down and will try to trip you up. And he'll try to keep you from God's word. And by the way, the Bible that you have in your hand now, I hope that you'll use it again before next Sunday. But Satan doesn't like it when you take time to read God's word. I hope that every day this coming week, you will find yourself back into this wonderful love letter, God's word, the Bible, to you. Because through this, he ministers to our hearts. And through this word, his word, which is greater than the power of Satan. And be in the word. But he'll try to keep you from the upbuilding fellowship with God's people. And you'll say, well, maybe I don't really need to go to church today. And it'll be Satan's idea. And as well as maybe your idea, but Satan will be very pleased if you don't show up in fellowship with God's people for growing in the Lord and for being a blessing to the people who are around you. He'll try to keep you from upbuilding fellowship with God's people. But, friends, don't be overcome by evil. Put on the other shoe. Overcome evil with good. Can I ask you a personal question? You maybe laugh at this. Did you use deodorant today? Okay. In the newspaper I saw this. This is written to kids. It comes from the comic section. Did you ever read the comics? Maybe you have your devotions there, I don't know, but it says this, Dear Beekman, why do armpits smell? So this gal from Dana Orr from Kingston, Ontario, that was her question. And so here's the answer. Dear Dana, there's all kinds of stuff living on us. We're all like walking bacteria gardens and fungus farms. Bacteria living on your skin, eats skin oils and stuff in our sweat, and the waste those bacteria make is what smells. So, saying this in church, would you forgive me, please? And there are lots and lots of sweat glands in the palms of hands, on the soles of feet, and under our arms. And when you reach age 11 to 13, lots of things get turned on, like those sweat glands. That's just the thing the bacteria need to chow down and gross you out. So, as a result, we not only take showers, but we also use deodorant. Good for you. Keep it up. In other words, overcome evil with good. You get the point? Now, let me say a few things about this. This is the positive. The first was the negative. Do not be overcome by evil. Here's the positive. But be overcome evil with good. And let me just say this. You are invincible in Christ. Think of that. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It was Paul who said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The beloved Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 said it this way, Everyone born of God overcomes. He Nikes, that's the word used there. He overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes or Nikes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Is he your Savior? Then you can have victory. You are invincible in Christ. Paul said it again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God. He gives us the Nike. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So think victory. Think Christ. He is our victory. And then may I say this also. Plan now to do good in every situation. In every situation. And you know, it's a good thing to ask that question. What would Jesus do? I would encourage you to think about that WWJD. It's a good phrase. It's a reminder to think. Now, in this situation, how would Jesus respond to this? That's the way I ought to respond. Many of you know who James Dobson is, the founder of that wonderful ministry known as Focus on the Family. And Adrian and I have visited, maybe some of you have also been in Colorado Springs and visited Focus on the Family. When we were there, and in fact Adrian has a brother who lives in Colorado Springs, he and his family. And when we visit them, on occasion we go over and visit the Focus on the Family headquarters. And while we were there, a couple of years ago, we saw a very important spot in that place, a hole in the wall, which was actually a bullet hole. And here's the story about it. It was on May 2nd, about 3 years ago or so, that at the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C., and James Dobson was there for prayer and to witness the giving of the Congressional Medal of Honor to Billy Graham. And he got a phone call from his office at Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs. And here's what they said in the phone call, that a gunman had entered at the front door and had taken four hostages, claiming that he had explosives and bombs on his body. And the other 1,200 staff members were evacuated out of the buildings. And for several hours, he maintained the standoff of the SWAT team that had surrounded the building. Maybe some of you remember this story. It was in the news. And this guy wildly held his gun at times to the heads of the hostages, and his gun went off and put a hole through the wall, and that's the hole we saw when we were there. And finally, one of the two women felt so thirsty that he was holding us hostage. She felt so thirsty that she thought of Christ's words. See, here's what would Jesus do in a situation like this? And she thought of what Jesus said, "Whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these in my name shall receive a reward." And so she said to this fellow who was holding her hostage, "Are you thirsty? Would you like me to get you a drink of cold water?" And he said, "Yes." So she got it, and in a little while, through an amazing set of circumstances, the four hostages were released, and the man gave himself up. Interesting illustration. But the big thing is now, plan to do good in every situation, wherever you are. That's how we overcome evil with good. And then notice this also, that the ultimate victory is yours in Christ. It may be that for a while, things will go so tough, and you'll go through a lot of trial, and heartache, and pain. But ultimately, if you're on the Lord's side, you're on the victory side. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says this, "They overcame him," that's Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." And by the way, may I say that, you know, God never asks you to do anything that he will not give you the power to do. He will enable you to do it. Let me also say this, that great reward awaits those who Nike or overcome. Again, thinking of that wonderful last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. In chapters 2 and 3, you'll see seven churches, all located in Turkey. And it was a joy for us to visit each of those seven churches, the locations of them all, those seven cities in Turkey today, modern Turkey. And this letter, these letters went to those seven churches. And if you look at those letters in chapters 2 and 3, those seven letters from Jesus through the Apostle John to those seven churches, you will find the word Nike or overcome in every one of them. And this great reward awaits for everyone who is an overcomer. Here's what it says, for instance, in Revelation 2 and verse 7 to the church at Ephesus. It says, to him who Nikes, who overcomes, Jesus says, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the church in Smyrna, verse 11, he who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. To the church in Pergamum, verse 17, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Chapter 2 again in verse 26, to the church in Thyatira, it says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And in chapter 3, to the church in Sardis, verse 5, he who overcomes will be dressed in white, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life. And chapter 3 again, verse 12, to the church in Philadelphia there in Turkey, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it, and I will write my name on him, my new name on him. And also to the church in Laodicea, verse 21, it says, to him, this is Jesus speaking, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Isn't that wonderful? That's the kind of victory that God gives to you. That's the kind of reward that he will give to you who are conquerors. And you know, the last part of the Bible, Revelation 21 verse 7, says this, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Well, I was going to call this message Christ's Lordship of My Responses. Then I decided to change that title just to, but may I encourage you to lace up your Nikes so that you can respond to the negatives and respond to Satan's desire to ruin your life by overcoming evil with good. Christ's Lordship of Your Responses. You know, this week, you will respond to all kinds of things. You may not be held hostage at gunpoint like some have been, but you'll feel like you're held hostage by all the pressures of life. But let me say this, let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your responses. Would you say the verse once again? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.